Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I thank you that as we get into the Word this morning, that it's alive and it's active, and we're going to enjoy just feasting together, and I thank you that you've got something for all of us. I want to encourage you that even if you're here this morning and finances isn't something that you really need to hear right now, you feel that finances isn't something you need to hear right now, I want to encourage you, God's got something for you, and you don't have to leave not having received whatever you desire at the moment, like what you need. If you're needing healing, you can get it this morning, even while we're talking about finances. God's just saying, hey, I want to love on you, I want to show you my goodness, I'm not restricted by a message on finances, I believe God's saying to us this morning. It's something which I believe is on His heart for us, but hey, don't be restricted to just receive regarding finances. If it's healing, if it's freedom, whatever it is, God's got something. If you're needing wisdom, God's got it for you this morning. You just have to receive it. And Holy Spirit, I just invite you. I thank you that you're ministering to each one of us as we just open up our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first scripture, Psalm 35, verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And so what we've been looking at is how God takes pleasure in our well-doing, financially as well. I mean, think about it as a dad. You don't want to see your children not doing well. Amen? In every area, you want to see them succeed and prosper. And that's what this scripture is saying. And once again, I know that when we read that scripture one day and we believe it, we'll start being shouting for joy and being glad. And, you know, we'll have an eruption of praise because we're excited about it. Philippians 4:15-17. You people in Philippi, remember when I first told you the good news there, when I left Macedonia, you were the only church that gave me help. Several times you sent me things I needed when I was in Thessalonica. Really, it is not that I want to get gifts from you, but I want you to have the benefit that comes from giving. And last week we started looking at this, how there's a benefit in giving. Okay. The King James puts that last sentence or last piece of scripture as saying, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And so giving, we've started getting onto looking at giving. Up until now, we've just looked at how God is our provider and how He wants us to prosper because we are blessed. If we put our hands to something, the blessing in us manifests in prosperity. Now we're starting to look at the giving aspect of it. Okay, because this, according to a lot of different scriptures, giving benefits us. And so it's an important part of finances and talking about finances. And I mean, if I was to ask how many of you want more money, you don't have to put your hands up, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter who you are, you could do with more or you would want more. That's the kind of like the nature within us. It's kind of like we know we can use it for something. Whether, you know, your reasons might not be good, but we all want more for something. Amen? It's not wrong to want more money, but if it's your focus, it's wrong. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our focus shouldn't be money. Our focus shouldn't be wanting to get more money. It should be wanting to be about our Father's business. It should be wanting to do kingdom business. You know, wanting to reach more people. Okay, because here's the thing, money is irrelevant. You want more of it, but it's actually irrelevant. We focus a lot on it. A lot of our lives are focused and centered around money, and yet money is completely irrelevant. You know, focusing on wanting to get more doesn't help anyone. Okay, we don't make money our goal and focus on getting more. The kingdom should be our focus. Our purpose in life should be our focus. We focus on the kingdom that Matthew 6:33 shows us. When you're focusing on the kingdom, when you're focusing on the Lord and putting first things first, then prosperity comes, then provision comes, then it starts to flow. It's like it's activated when we start to put our priorities first. The most important priority, which is your relationship with God. That's step one in seeking first His kingdom. Seeking first His kingdom is also about your schedule. How much of your schedule is given to relationship with God or the local church? Or, you know, the local church is God's heartbeat. It's how God wants to impact the world. And yet, you know, for many of us, when it comes to giving or when it comes to time and using our talents, it's not as important to us as it is to God. And so seeking first the kingdom of God is about prioritizing what God prioritizes. And that's kind of like a key to, God doesn't kind of reward you now with provision and blessing and favor and all of that. But it, for us, it's an act of receiving. And so it unlocks something and we start to receive. Okay, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Now we've looked at this verse a couple times. I'm not going to get into everything that's in this verse, but I just want to kind of remind us that, you know, we remember that it's the blessing which we already have, which is more important than money. It's the blessing. You know, everything can be taken away from you, but the blessing cannot because you are blessed. We've looked at this. You can lose everything and you're still blessed. Okay? And that blessing which you have is what produces wealth, which makes you rich. When you put your hand to something and you work, the blessing flows and it produces wealth. Okay? So we're not just saying, hey, give all your money into the offering bucket and then, oh, all of a sudden you're just sitting with a load of cash. We're saying that God's blessed you. You've got talents. You've got abilities inside of you. And one way to prosper is by using them. Putting your hand to something and working. We've looked at this. And then the blessing inside of you flows and you start to see the prosperity manifest. So that's a vital key to prospering. But another, so we prosper by work, but the blessing is what produces the wealth while we're putting our hand to something. But then we also prosper through giving. And that's an important part which we need to look at. So the blessing is the true wealth, not money. Okay? Money isn't, you might be looking at your bank account or your wallet and saying, I'm not rich. The blessing which you have is the true prosperity, is the true wealth. And when you put that into action, then it produces money. Then money starts to come. Money is just an indicator of the wealth which you have. And it doesn't mean that if you're not seeing money, you don't have the blessing. It just means you're not activating the blessing. You're not stepping out in faith and using what God's put inside of you. Money should never be our focus. It shouldn't be the primary voice in our heads to make decisions. Money shouldn't be what leads us. God is who leads us. The Spirit is who we follow. So we need to keep in mind that money is great because it can accomplish a lot of good. But if you focus on it, you can be misled. It's the deceitfulness of riches, as Jesus said in Mark 4, which lead us astray. Okay, so we need to be careful because money is really just a tool. That's why it's irrelevant. It's relevant, there's a place for it, but it's just a tool. Okay, a tool to accomplish whatever you're called to accomplish. Part of our calling as believers is to reach the world with the message of the gospel. The gospel is free, but it doesn't come cheap. Every single one of you, doesn't matter if it was your parent who shared the gospel with you and you received that gospel, cost a lot to get to you. It cost a heck of a lot to get to you. People laid down their lives for it. And whoever ministered to you or ministered to you, whoever ministered to you or ministered to them or whatever, you know, it cost money for them to take, you know, time is money, right? So the time that they spent ministering to you, even that cost something. So if you look at it, it's like God wants us to be able to use what He gives us, the resources that we have, to reach more people. That's on His heart. Obviously, to also look after your family, like we've already spoken about. But it's merely a tool. And when we see it like that and we start to treat it like that, then I think we become more effective. Then we start to see more increase because we're looking at things correctly. Okay? If our motivation or desire is to have more money, we just need to make sure that that motivation is correct. What is that motivation? Okay? Because motivation is what determines the fruitfulness, really, when it comes to finances. What's it? 1 Corinthians 13, somewhere there, it says how, you know, even if you give your body to be burned, if you give everything you have to the poor, but you're not motivated by love, it profits you nothing. That means that if you have the right motivation, which is love, the love of God, it profits you something. If you look at it in the other light. Giving profits us, but it only profits us when we're looking at it right, when you've got the right motivation. You know, giving profits at God, quite big. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world, so love was his motivation, that he gave. And he gave his best. He gave everything he had. And I mean, the harvest which he's experiencing is great. It's awesome. So you know, we if we look at it like that, we need to see that the motivation needs to be right. Yeah, because when your motivation is right, God will give you opportunities for increase. What do I mean by that? Opportunities for increase doesn't mean all of a sudden you get home and there's like lots of cash on your bed. I mean, that would be awesome for all of us. I found cash on my bed like that once, but someone had put it there. God didn't. This is an important point, because some people believe God's just going to counterfeit currency and put it in your wallet or your bank account. Doesn't work like that. That's illegal. And I know we're talking about God here, but he's not going to override that system, which is in place, by his own choice. And so, you know, what he's going to do is he's going to work in someone's heart to provide for you, to give you something. So he works through people. So once I was trusting for rent years back when I just got into ministry and I got home, there was an envelope on my bed and there was money in it. And it was exactly what I needed. God didn't make that appear there. Somebody was moved and did that. And so you can see how God provides. We'll probably talk about that a little bit in a moment. But when, you know, God will give us more opportunities to increase, what does that mean? It means more opportunities to make money, more opportunities to see the blessing inside of you manifest. Maybe another business opportunity. Maybe an idea of creativity or whatever. It starts to flow and then you can start to see that blessing. We're talking about practical prosperity here where God wants you to prosper, but it's not going to happen while you're watching TV. It's, you know, it's not going to happen while you're on the beach. It's going to happen. Now, if you've set it up and it's happened, it can happen while you're there. And some of you know what I'm talking about, but it happens by putting your hand to something. The blessing can only flow if you're in contact with something. When you're, you know, what does that mean? It means work. W-O-R-K, work. It's not a cuss word. It's a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 11 from the Good News Bible, it says, and God, who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat, will also supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. Now, the first thing it says is, he supplies seed to the sower. God's not going to give you seed if you're not a sower. Some of you think that's not that legalistic. It's not legalistic. It's just a principle from the Word of God. Okay, he gives seed to the sower, and he gives bread to eat. So if you're just an eater, he'll give you bread. He'll supply your need because he loves you. But if, I mean, yeah, some people what they do is they become sowers, and then they start to see seed come in, and they eat it. You can't eat your seed. Eat the bread, right? And some of you are starting to see what I'm saying, but we'll get there. Then it says, let's read that again. God who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat will also supply you with the seed you need. So he provides you with what you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. So what I want you to see there is your generosity unlocks the provision. It unlocks the flow of prosperity. Okay? Yeah, I like to look at it like this. If I've got a lot of stuff, money in my hand, and I'm holding on to it, I'm not giving it to anyone or giving it into the offering or whatever, and I'm just holding on to it, I can't receive because my hands are closed. But as soon as you let go, your hand is open to receive. I mean, that's just a simple illustration. But that's always in my mind, you know, with when you're looking and focusing on what's in your hand. You know, once again, Jesus, when he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what did he do? He didn't curse it. He looked in his hands. He didn't say, well, guys, this is enough for me. I'm going to enjoy a little meal. The rest of you, you need to go and sort yourselves out. What did he do? He broke it, gave thanks, and it multiplied. And so we need to see that's generosity in action, and that generosity is what fueled the miracle. You know, it would have been a miracle there was 5,000 men, let's say, 20 to 30,000 people, including women and children. It would have been a miracle for all of those people to go out and find food for themselves as well, because they were in the middle of the desert. But Jesus performed the miracle for them there by not being greedy. Okay? And it says, verse 11, he will always make you rich enough to be generous at all times. That's the goal. That you have enough to be generous at all times. Some of us are just focused about where's my next meal coming from. And I can understand that. I've been there, but we need to move out of that to how can I be a blessing? Then you have a sower mentality of he's going to give me seed and I'm going to sow it and I'm going to see increase. Not just a where's my bread coming from? Because then you're just an eater. Okay? He'll always make you rich enough to be generous at all times so that many will thank God for your gifts which they receive from us. That's awesome. In this life and in the life to come, I believe that that's true. That because of our generosity, I mean, you're taking money, which is can burn, it can disappear in an instant, and you're turning it into something, you're using it for good, to bless people. And the end goal would really be that people are thanking God because of your generosity. They're like, wow, thank you for giving and it's changed my life. But not just that, one day when you get to heaven, you've turned that money into something eternal. So it's not just about filling tummies on earth, the tummy can burn too. It's not about just the here and now, it's about eternity. And so we take that money and we use it to reach people with the gospel. And then as a result, one day that you bump into them in heaven and they're like, I thank God for your gifts that you gave because it reached me. It helped me grow in my relationship with God. It introduced me to Jesus. I was a whatever religion. And now, because someone came to me and taught me the word, I was able to receive Christ. I mean, that's the goal. But the principle in all of that is that he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Increase only comes when you sow. Increase doesn't come when you eat. Just think about it practically. Just practically. You've got some seeds. Okay, people eat seeds nowadays too. Okay, I do too. As long as they're compact in a little seed bar. So now you've got your seeds. I can eat that or I can sow it. Not the bar. Okay, let's just revert back to seed. But it's like you can sow that or you can eat it. You get money. You can sow that or you can eat that. But it doesn't help if you just consume. You need to do something with it. Like you're starting a business. And let's say, once again, you're selling Cook Sisters at the Robot. You know, the money comes in. You can use that money to sow into your business, to grow your business, or you can eat it. And then you have to trust God for money to start again. Can you see what I'm saying? It's like we can't just eat everything that comes our way, consume everything that comes our way. When the increase comes, we need to be able to identify what portion of it is seed and what portion of it is bread. So you need to do business with God and find out, in your heart and be confident about, is this seed or is this bread? Don't eat your seed because then you don't have anything to plant and you have no future harvest. And some of you are sitting there, maybe you're a bit confused right now because you've never thought of it like this. But I mean, just think of it practically. Sowing brings a harvest. Not sowing doesn't bring a harvest. And we're going to look at these verses in a moment, but by sow, I obviously mean sowing and giving money into the kingdom. And we'll look at that in a moment, but in addition to this, we're talking about sowing back into your business. Like I used the illustration, or sowing into your future by saving. That's also sowing. So there's different ways of sowing, and you need to decide, what am I going to sow into the kingdom? What am I going to sow into my business to grow it? What am I going to sow into my future? Because it's vital, all of those things. And so one of the points that's come up from the start of the series is, that the proper use of money is to look after. God wants me to be blessed. He wants my family to be looked after. But then it's also, one of the purposes of money is to build his kingdom. It's kingdom expansion. Let's reach more people. Let's plant more churches. Let's go to the unreached. It's about establishing people and reaching new people. And so giving is really important if you've been listening through the series, and that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. And so we'll look at it in a bit more detail. And I know that there's been many abuses in the body of Christ with regards to giving, but don't let that put you off, because God's got something special in it for you. Okay? I've gone on all extremes. Okay? And I look forward to speaking on tithing maybe next week or the week after, because there's many different ideas on that, and I think I've gone into all of them. And I'm settled enough inside of me and confident to know what I believe about it and the fruit that I can see in it. And so I'm ready to talk about that. But why give? I think we've looked at that sufficiently. But, the first thing I want to say is that you're partnering with God. Giving makes you partner with, causes you to become a partner with God. You're still a child of God if you don't give. He loves you. He wants to, He's blessed you already and He wants to provide for you. But if you're wanting to increase, if you want to be serious about what God's called you to, then giving is not an option. It's essential. Okay? So, Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power or ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto our fathers as it is this day. Now, we've looked at this verse in detail, and it's basically just reminding us that the purpose of wealth, God gives us the ability to get wealth. Everything we have, the talents, the abilities, it comes from God. The finances we have, it comes from God. He equips us to be able to do that, but the purpose of finances is what? Establish his covenant. Expand the kingdom. Okay? That's what it's about. So giving isn't one of the things we need to see. Like I said, when you're giving, you're partnering with God. One of the ways I like to look at it, when I'm giving, I'm a giver. Just in case you wonder, I'm just looking for money for us, for my family. We're not. What I want you to see is I'm also a giver. Okay? And when I'm giving, I'm partnering with God. Not just the church or whatever, but I'm partnering with God, and because it's an act of faith, I'm inviting Him into my finances. That's what it's doing. Many of you aren't giving, but you may be wanting God to do something in your finances, and He wants to, but you're not in faith because, and I'll get to this later, but you can't be in faith and not give. If you're in faith, you will give. You can give and not be in faith, but that's another story. But the point is if you really trust in God, then you'll give easily. And I'm not talking about giving 100% of what you get. I'm just talking about a portion, okay, as you purpose in your heart. But we need to see giving is not a business transaction. This is a family, right? Okay, we're all contributing to the kingdom, to expanding the kingdom, to whatever. This is not a business transaction. It's family. And we need to keep that in mind. It's a faith issue. It's a heart issue. Okay? Like I said, now, you're either giving, you're either in faith and giving, or you're not in faith and you're not giving. That testimony again, I was sitting with someone that had health issues, all sorts of issues, and they said, they summed, very nicely summed up their issues and said, I suppose I was just struggling to trust God. And then I said to them, man, I bet you're not giving. And they said, how did you know? And I, well, giving is an indication of faith. You know, it doesn't make any sense in the natural to take what you could use and give it. It doesn't make sense. You know, it takes faith. Say, God, I could use this for something, but I know that as I sow, I'm going to reap, and I know that I want to partner with you, so I'm going to give it. Invest into your kingdom knowing you're looking after me, so I don't have to worry about that. When you've got this mindset of God as your provider, He's looking after you, you don't have to worry about finances. You're not silly when it comes to just giving and generosity, but it's easy to be generous. Even when you know what your bank balance is and it's like you have an opportunity to be generous and you want to be generous, it's like, well, you know what? God's looking after me, so it's easy. And then you can partner, you can give, you can bless. So you can give and not be in faith, but you could never be in faith and not give. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-10 says, I've never seen this verse in light of giving. And as I was studying and preparing, I was like excited about this verse because it's got a message for us with regards to finances. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Okay, we are co-laborers or laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon that. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. So you need to be wise in how you build, okay? And if you look at this, you know, I really believe that this can speak to the issue of finances and giving as well. But let's look at the first two verses. It says, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. It costs money to plant something. Amen? It costs money to start something. It costs money to reach people, even if it's just a little. It takes an investment to disciple people, to sow seed into a believer, which is the watering part, I believe. You know, it said, what does it say there? It says, I've planted, Apollos watered. It takes money to plant, it takes money to build. I believe that's talking about reaching new people, and it's talking about establishing believers. Discipleship. It takes money to do both. And it takes an investment into both. God is the one who grows the people, though. Ministry is sowing seed. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's a seed. Okay, so, you know, while I'm ministering, I'm sowing seed into your life. You and between you and God, it develops the increase. How you receive it, and then God causes the fruitfulness. But people have sown to get to cause me to stand here before you. And it's an investment so that I can sow this seed. See, all of life is about sowing seed, really. You know, it's taking time to have a coffee with someone and spend time with them and invest into them or whatever. Someone paid for that. I'm not talking about the coffee. I'm talking about the time. Someone invested into that because, I mean, if you're being completely carnal, you could rather take that time and go and work and earn some money. But it's an eternal seed which you're sowing when you spend time with someone. It's discipleship. Okay? Verse 9, for we are co-laborers or laborers together with God. Okay? We work together. Look at it like this. God is your partner. God is your partner. So it includes finances, right? How many of you have a partner in your business and they got nothing to do with the money? They don't get any money, they don't give any money, they're just a partner. I mean, what is that? that's nothing. Partnership is beneficial to both parties. And so your God blesses us so we can be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing. And when you're a blessing and expanding his kingdom, it blesses him. Okay, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. We all want to be wise master builders, right? In how we're building our lives, our businesses and everything, we want to be wise in the way that we do it because you can be very foolish. I mean, you know, you can build a house of cards on a foundation of sand. I mean, that's not going to accomplish much, right? Imagine, you know, saying, I just got 100,000 rand. I'm like, I'm going to go and invest it in the slot machines. That's not wisdom. let's say that's all I've got. That's not wisdom to go to the casino and just, you know, throw it in the machines there and hope for the best. That's not wise master builder. Wise master builder would be to take that money and use it to make money. Invest a portion into the kingdom, but use it to make money to so we can get more. Okay, so we read on there. It says, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds upon. So we need to be wise and careful about how we're building our lives, our finances, and the kingdom, etc. Okay? Yeah, all of us know this. You can build a house very cheaply and you can build a house and spend money on it. Yeah, if you want to take cardboard and build your house, that's fine, but it's not going to last. You're going to have to keep rebuilding it. And so if you've got money, you should rather invest and build a proper house of bricks or something. You know, however you're wanting to do it. But the point is that you can build, you have to pay for quality. You know, straw huts are still a straw hut. That's going to go quickly in the fire, you know, even a thatched roof. But that's just your decision, isn't it? It's not going to stand against a massive storm if you just build a straw hut. So we need to invest well so we can build well. Invest well into your future. Invest well into the kingdom. Invest well into your business or whatever you're doing because it's a way of increasing. So the first point about why we give is because we're partnering with God. The second point would be it's a way of increasing. Because you're partnering with God and your partner's not going to let you down. Your partner's going to make sure that you're doing well. Okay? Your partner's going to make sure that you're increasing too. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5 to 7. King James, it says, therefore, I thought it necessary to encourage or exhort the brethren that they would go before you, before unto you, and make beforehand your bounty. I like the word bounty there. That's why I chose this version for it. Bounty, it's like more, it's like abundance. Whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty or generosity, and not of covetousness. So he's saying, hey, get your gift ready. You said you were going to give, get your gift ready. And it's a matter of generosity, it's not a matter of covetousness. Many people look at giving as a point of, I'm giving to get. That's covetousness. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's wrong to just want more stuff. It's not wrong to have stuff. But when we're desiring stuff, it reveals that stuff has us. We don't have stuff. How many of you know we need stuff? It's nice to have a bed. It's nice to have stuff. It's nice to have a knife to cut your food, the bread, the loaf of bread. It's nice to have a butter knife to put butter on bread. You know, it's nice to have stuff. We need stuff because it's functional. But if stuff has you, then you've got a problem. Okay? Then it's a covetousness because you're desiring stuff and you just want more stuff. Verse 6 there. But I say this, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Okay? And you could say stingily. He reaps stingily, like not, like just, okay, there you go. Okay? Then it says, and he which sows bountifully or abundantly or generously shall reap bountifully or generously. Why? Because you reap according to what you sow. Even just in generous with your time, being with love, with forgiveness, with all things, it's a principle of God. It's a principle of the universe, which is just there. You reap. A farmer can't reap what he didn't sow. He's got to sow in order to reap. Okay, so it's a universal principle which God has established. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't mean God hates you if you don't give and if you're not cheerful about it. It just means he loves it when you're generous, when you're giving cheerfully, when you're happy about what you're giving. I like the Greek that says hilariously. God loves a hilarious giver. Someone who's just like, you know what, you can't outgive God, so he's going to look after me. I'm just going to give. Like, people, if they were to find out what I was giving, they would laugh at me, think I'm nuts. That's the kind of hilarious giving. Yeah. So, in context, this is all speaking about finances. I know some people, they like to take these verses and try and make it not about finances, but if I read it, I can't not see finances here. If you go read the context, that's why I read a couple of verses there. It's talking about money. It applies to other things too, but it's talking about cash. It's talking about wealth. It's talking about money. Okay, and Paul says to the Corinthians that they were willing to give not because of pressure, and that their giving was a matter of generosity, not greed. Okay, they gave because it was their generous nature, because they wanted to, and that's a principle for giving. You don't give because you have to. God doesn't need your money. He's not pressuring you for your money. The pressure's off. So I'm not here to teach about giving so that you can, to try and push you to give. We can use your money, definitely. But it's not about your money. It's not about your giving. It's about your heart. It's about God wanting to partner with you. Okay? So that you can see increase, so we can reach more people together. Okay? So this isn't a matter of greed. It's a matter of generosity. It's important because, yeah, to establish the motivation in giving, because when we give, we do receive. Giving does bring a harvest because you're sowing, and so there has to be a harvest. So it does bring back, but we've got to see this, that it's not about that. So you don't give, oh, I need something. Yeah, I'm giving because I want to get something back. That's not what it's about. It's giving because you want to, because you desire to, because you're giving purposefully. There's a whole bunch of things we're going to get into on this. But you're giving because you want to be part of, because of love. If you don't love to give, then don't give. It's got to be a love, a joy. Hey, I want to give. Okay? So they were giving, you know, because of their generous nature, because they wanted to. And like I said, 1 Corinthians 13 says, giving only profits us when the motivation is correct. So you've got to search your heart and get your heart right before you're expecting some kind of return. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I was wondering if I should put this in or not, because there's all sorts of things around this one. But Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." I bet every single one of us wants that. "Your cup runneth over. Shall men give into your bosom? For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you." So the way that you give determines the harvest that you're going to get. That's what it's saying. Okay? I don't think you get any more direct than this verse. But let's look at it in context, because many people say it's not about money, because if you look at the context, it's not talking about money. So let's look at the context. Okay? Verse 34. If you lend... let's just pause there for a moment. "If you lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what have ye?" So it's talking about money. "For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend." So it's talking about love, yes, but it's also talking about lending. "Hope for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest." You'll start to act like God. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye merciful, as your Father is also merciful." Now, in context, it's saying be merciful, yes, but in context, it's talking about money as well. So be merciful with regards to lending as well, with regards to giving. "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." So the context is talking about generosity, it's talking about love, it's talking about doing good to others, judgment, forgiveness. But it also says lend, so it's including money. Okay? Let's read it again then. Verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again." So we need to see that here, basically, generosity or generous giving is what leads to generous receiving. And I don't know anyone who would say, "I don't want to generously receive from God. I don't want him to generate. You're kind of like, "Oh, I only want a little bit from God." Everybody would want an abundance from God. And he's given us an abundance. We're already blessed. But to let that out of our spirit, part of the thing is putting your hand to work to see the blessing flow. But then to partner with God so that the blessing can flow as well, to see the increase. Okay, so whether it's money, possessions, or an emotion of love or hate, or whether it's prayers or our time or whatever, we reap a harvest of what we give. Doesn't matter what it is. It's not just money. But, you know, if you're nice to people, there you go. You know, generosity is what opens the gateway to receive. Generosity is the gateway. You know, it opens the gate for us to be able to receive generously. How many of you like hanging out with people who are just completely stingy and just not generous at all with anything? It's like maybe it's your family, so you tolerate them. But when it comes to friends, you can pick your friends. You know, you can't pick your family. But you pick your friends, and it's like, well, you know what, you're generous towards each other. It's love. It's generosity. It's kindness. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. God is our source, but he uses people to get that money to us." And so we're not nice to people because we hope that they'll give us something. But generosity and being nice to people is the gateway which opens for God to use that channel too. Because most people, it's like, when we're praying about, should we bless so-and-so? Lord, you know, we kind of think about them, don't we? We're not thinking about, what is God saying? Most people, we should be just doing what God says. But most of us, it would be a case of, God, I can't see how they need this 1,000 rand that you want me to give them. Yeah, yes, he does need that. Maybe they do need that and you don't know about it. But we've got to give because, yeah, we not because of the circumstances only, but because we just feel in our heart impressed that we need to give to. This is extra giving. I'm just talking of using as an illustration. We need to see that, hey, you know, a generosity opens generosity. Okay, that's the point. So, giving or partnering with God is a spiritual act of Giving or partnering with God is a spiritual act of faith. And this means that we pray for things. If we're praying for things of finances, you know, if you're trusting for to receive something, let me illustrate it like this. God is the source and He gives. Whenever I'm trusting God for something, whenever I've trusted God for a car, we've received 4 cars over the past couple of years. But whenever we've trusted God for a car, we're not into the hint ministry, so we don't tell anyone. Okay? Because I heard a testimony. Someone stood up in a church I was at once and they were testifying. The pastor asked them to testify about just how their life after marriage is just God's blessing and all of this. And they just said how God's blessed them with this. God's blessed them with that and how awesome it's been and awesome, whatever. And then they said, and we're still trusting God for an outcome notepad. And then, you know, a dishwasher and a this and a that. And they started reading. And I was sitting at the back going, that's crazy. Yeah, that's the hint ministry. That's where I first heard that phrase, because a friend and I were joking about them being in the hint ministry. Now, we're not into the hint ministry, so we don't tell people when we're trusting for something. Because God knows. But God's not going to make a car appear on my doorstep. But He'll cause someone's heart to be impressed to make a car appear on my doorstep. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So whenever I've been trying, I'm like, Father, Your word says, ask and you shall receive. So I'm asking for a car or whatever it is. And I just thank You that as I've asked, I've received. So in the name of Jesus, it's mine. Now I just want to pray for that individual who's going to be blessing me with a car. Father, whoever it is, I don't have a clue, but I know that they've got a relationship with You. And so I just thank You that they are just going to experience such tremendous increase in blessing so that they can be a blessing out of an overflow. I thank You, Father, that whatever hindrances in their life, that it's just going to be taken out. I just command any hindrance to go. Any demonic attack on their life, which is preventing me from receiving what I need. I just, you know, deal with that. And I just pray. I pray like that. I pray for the individual because I know God speaks through people. Okay? And so we need to realize that we're trusting God. We're giving. We're partnering with Him and all of this. But God works through people. And so we mustn't just be generous to God and ugly towards people. Be generous towards the people around you. Amen? So, you know, we need to see that we give because it's our way of partnering with God, but we also give because it's a way of increase. It's a way for us to increase. It's a supernatural thing which a carnal person can't understand. And so there's some of us maybe this morning who's just like, I just don't see this. I can't understand it. And what I want to tell you with that is that, can you pass me that one? What you need to see with that is just that, you know, this is a spiritual thing which might not make sense to the carnal person. There's a lot of things like this in the Word. I mean, if you're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that does not make sense. Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover is ludicrous. You know, one of the guys, it's a friend of mine, we met up with him on the trip this week, and he introduced us to a whole bunch of grace people in Durban. It was really awesome. But he's a personal trainer at Virgin Active. And he says he walks around there and he just touches people, you know. How are you doing? And they're like, why did you do that? And you can see that they've got something wrong. And then he says, no, just tell me how you're doing tomorrow. And then afterwards they're like, I don't know what happened, but something happened. And then he ministers to them. Because they're getting healed. That doesn't make sense to the carnal man, the same way that giving doesn't make sense to the carnal man. You know what we do when we may be getting to the end of our money for the month or whatever, and you kind of feel that grip on you, and it's like, now we really need to, like, be careful. Buckle down, yeah. It's time to really live in fear and bondage and, you know, we don't say it like that, but that's what's happening. You know what we do? We'll go out for coffee and we'll bless someone. Because it's just like, you know what, we're not going to allow this to have a fear, a hold on us, because money isn't our dictator. And we've never seen God not bless us and see a provision come or what have you. It always works. Don't let money have a hold on you. It's a tool. It's something which we need to use for a purpose, but don't let it ever put you into fear. I've been in debt. I've experienced all that type of stuff, and you can live fear-free through all of that. I have. I'm a testimony of that. I know other people who had you know, less than what had more than what I've got, but were in such fear about finances, it forced them to really just step out of God's will for their life and follow after finances. People who were called to something specific, and then they just ended up doing nothing because finances talks to you. And the easiest way to deal with that manipulation from money is to give it away. Yeah, and if you think I'm just trying to get more money out of you, give it to somebody else. The point is that we want to invest into the kingdom. We want to invest into people's lives, but it's like, don't let money make your decisions for you about how you're giving and stuff. Now, next week, we're going to look about when to give. We're going to look about a couple other things with regards to giving, some more practical things about, you know, don't give where you begged. We give where we're fed and things like that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's going to bless you. But we're going to get more into the nuts and bolts of it. And I really believe it's going to be a blessing to you. So this is kind of part one to next week. So I encourage you to make sure you get the teaching if you can't be here, because it's going to encourage you. It's going to help you. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that finances is really just a tool. It's not something which is big in our lives. We make it big, Father. The whole world is all about money, but we're all about you, Father. We're all about your kingdom. We're all about your righteousness. We're choosing to put our focus on you and to prioritize you and your kingdom. And I thank you that money comes. We don't chase after it. It chases after us. The blessing, we don't chase after it. It hunts us down, as the scripture says. I just thank you, Father, that for all of us, that you, over the past weeks, it's been awesome to hear testimonies of people, you know, being stirred up to put their hands to something. You've been giving creative ideas, Father, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for an increase of that. I thank you, Father, that as people start to step forward in faith to give, I thank you, and to give generously. I thank you, Father, that they're going to see a change in their situation as they kind of do it as an act of trusting you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I really just feel in my heart that there's a number of people here. You're in a position of trusting God for that idea, or trusting God for some creativity, trusting God for an opportunity to put your hand to something to see it, you know, kind of the prosperity start to manifest. And if that's you, I just want to ask you to stand so I can pray for you. Thank you, Father. Whoever's standing, Father, I thank you that you know their situation. You know what's going on in their lives. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for a release of creativity, a release of that idea, a release of that opportunity. And I thank you, Father, for increase in Jesus' name. I just speak increase over your life, over your family, over your business. I thank you, Father, that your favor is upon every single one of us. And as we step forward into putting our hands to something, step forward in faith with regard to giving, I thank you, Father, for increase. I thank you, Father, that we're going to see your blessing flow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's all just stand together. Just close your eyes. And Father, I just want to thank you that if you're serving communion, you can come up. I just thank you, Father, that it's all about Jesus. The reason we give is to expand the kingdom. The reason we give is because we love Jesus and we want to see more people come to know him. It's not just for us, even though it benefits us. We want to see more people receiving Christ. We want to see more people walking in freedom. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you that as we focus on what you've done for us now, as we dig into communion, I thank you, Father, just for the supernatural just to start happening in our lives, for healing, just to manifest as we focus on Jesus. Just with your eyes closed, just be in receiving mode, because whatever miracle or healing you need is here. God is here. It's inside. He's inside of you. All you need to do is just receive it by faith. He wants you just to take hold of what he's freely offering you. He's not withholding healing. He's not withholding a financial miracle. He's not holding any miracle. He's not withholding any good thing from you. He doesn't have to release it. You need to receive it. By grace, he's given it to you. By faith, take hold of it. Father, I thank you that
as we just focus on you, on your goodness, that we can just receive the manifestation of whatever we need. I declare right now healing to manifest in your body. Opportunities to open up for you to be able to prosper more. That supernatural provision that you need today, I thank you, Father, that in those people's lives, it's done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a good Father and you only have good things for us, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.